glad, wouldn't it? How the bloody hell are you, mate? Welcome to episode number 187 of the Average Man Podcast, Hustlin' Man Blues. Welcome, welcome. Now, if you don't know anything about this podcast, if it's the first time you've tuned in, well then, g'day. How the bloody hell are you, mate? My name's Dave, and I am... what am I? Well, I'm a travelling father, husband, carpenter by trade, recently become builder, quit the job about 4 or 5 months ago, and I'm travelling the country with my family in a caravan. Got a caravan and a ute and a little dog, and we're currently in the southern coast of Western Australia in a little town called Bremer Bay, and we're just sort of taking our time cruising around the country, spending time together as a family, trying to focus on what is important to us and move away from that rat race 9-to-5 vibe that we were living and feeling and stuck in for so long, like so many people are. So we've recently, I feel like my microphone keeps maxing out for some reason. I've got that a little loud. I'll just crank that down, crank that up. Hopefully I don't get any more of those yucky noises. So we have recently just left Albany, the city of Albany in, again, the southern part of Western Australia. And I guess I'll tell you a little bit about Albany, if you haven't been there. It was our first time spending any time there, so it was all pretty new for us. It's an interesting town, city. It's a city. It's a very sprawling, spread out kind of city. They've got a very proud Anzac history down there in Albany because that is where the fleets for World War One left. So they went from Sydney to Melbourne to Albany, and then there were some English fleets and stuff in there as well, English boats and stuff in there as well, and then they all left from Albany's big harbour there, the King George Sound, it's called. It's a big bay inside, just cut off from the ocean or just connected to the ocean by a small little section of water. A big deep sound that they have at the front of the city there. So they all took off from there together and went off to fight in World War One, and you know, the rest is obviously history, literally. Then it's pretty, they've got like a big Anzac Centre there that we went and visited and had a look at, and to be honest, that was pretty impressive. A large slice of land dedicated to this Anzac history memorial. There's like a memorial park, there's a historical park, and then there's the actual Anzac Centre with a big lookout, and it's got some old, you know, anti-aircraft machine guns or guns, you know. It's got like a missile bunker, and it's got like there's a museum there, there's heaps of shit, and like a lot of, it's very spread out. It's like, you know, several hectares of land dedicated to this one specific Anzac Centre, and you know, big lookout, like prime land as well, lookout over the harbour and stuff like that. So pretty impressive, to be fair. Our experience was slightly soured by two of the less than welcoming employees, who, you know, my wife really wanted to go there and find her great-grandfather's name. We had all his details and how long he served and where he left from and what battalion he was in and all that sort of stuff. And she wanted to go find his name, at the Anzac Centre there. And they were just really unhelpful and they were going to try and charge us all full prices to walk through there for like 10 minutes, which would have been like $100 or something for the four of us. And we weren't into it. She was very, very unhelpful. So that slightly soured things for us a little bit. And it's sort of a theme we noticed when we were in Albany was the slightly less than welcoming locals, which I'll come back to a little bit later. We did a few other things there. Went to the whaling station, so another historical event, you know, great for the homeschooling stuff. We are homeschooling. I didn't mention that the little intro to the podcast today, but we are homeschooling both our kids. So history, especially Australian history, is, you know, great. We knocked off a few things during school holidays. It'll be history for the term ahead, which was good. The whaling station was one of them. Very interesting. You know, they got a big ship there, a big whaling ship that they used to use. It was an active whaling ship, you know, up until whatever, 30 years ago. It's the old whaling station, so the shed's there and the silo's there and the processing factory's there, and they've got informational videos, and there's, you know, like a big whale skeletons there, which is pretty cool. They've got a pygmy blue whale skeleton there, which is bloody huge. Very impressive, you know, pretty cool, very cool. Kids enjoyed that. We went to the animal sanctuary next door and had a look at some albino kangaroos, amongst other things. That was very interesting, very, very educational for the kids as well. Definitely room for improvement at that whaling station. There's things they could do better, but pretty cool. We also went and looked at the wind farm there. They got, I don't know, half a dozen or more, maybe eight or nine huge big windmills forming a wind farm just outside of Albany. So we went and had a look at that, knock off some science for the kids as well while we were out there. So that was cool. We did a bunch of things, but the city itself is a very sprawling, frustrating city to get around. You know, it's full of roundabouts that don't always work that well. For example, the roundabout is a great idea and option sometimes, especially when you've got two main crossroads that have fairly even traffic coming from all directions. But if you've got one road in particular, or specifically one direction of one road in particular, that doesn't get the same kind of traffic load as the others, then the street to that one's left is not going to get the same kind of flow that the rest of the roundabout does, you know what I mean? So if you've got a roundabout, four streets coming in, and then one of those streets comes from a suburb and the others are sort of main roads, so they're getting used quite heavily, especially during, you know, on the way to work times, then the street to the left-hand side, which will be a highway of the not-so-used residential street, doesn't get anyone going, coming on and cutting off the traffic for them. So is that right? Sorry, it's the street on the right hand side of the unused street will suffer, because they don't have anybody pulling on and cutting off traffic for them. So, because obviously it works around, give way to your left all the way around a roundabout. So if the street on your left hand side isn't delivering much traffic, then you never get if the street on your if the street on your left-hand side isn't delivering much flow to the traffic, then the other three two entries aren't going to get held up and give you a break to get on the roundabout. Man, I made that confusing. But I think you know what I mean. Hopefully you know what I mean. So they don't always work that well. It was also a five-exit roundabout there, which I've never seen before. So five streets converging on one roundabout, which was different. It seemed to work pretty good. I wonder how many you could do. Could you put like eight streets coming into a roundabout? A big octonaut about? That'd be interesting. But yeah, look, and you know, yeah, it's sprawling. It's hard to get around. It's like the CBD is kind of just more like an industrial area. You're always driving so far to get somewhere. You want to go from Dan Murphy's to Woolworths to Bunnings is such a huge stretch. It's a 15-minute journey, and it's like, fuck me, and a long way out of your way. So that kind of frustrated me. And we were there for 2 weeks, because the idea was we nestled into Albany for 2 weeks during the school holidays, because we knew that the school holidays, like all the caravan parks and campsites, were all going to be like flogged out with the holiday makers. So we hibernated, house sat for someone in Albany for the 2 weeks, and you know, it was good for us, but certainly, like, man, we didn't enjoy being there that long. We ran out of things to do. I'm sure people who know Albany or who like Albany think, oh, how can you run out of things to do? There's fucking heaps of things to do. Yeah, we just didn't like it, mate. It just wasn't for us, eh? And people were kind of cunts, as I mentioned. They have this, like, locals, you know, only kind of, like, small town sort of vibe, but it's a city. It's very, very weird. And it feels like an old, dying city. We got, got some friends that live near there in Denmark and work there, and one of them works there, and she was saying that, yeah, it's a very old city, a lot of retirement homes, a lot of aged care facilities, it's a retiring, older, you know, population there. And I was like, yeah, no shit, you can see that. There's like wheelchairs and walking frames being sold next to the supermarkets and stuff, and I'm like, I've never seen that before, man. It was just a very sleepy, boring, uninspired, scared of change, don't like strangers type of feel to it. And it was not our speed at all. So we are glad to be back on the road, man. Glad to be back on the road. We're in Bremer Bay today. Just got here yesterday, as I mentioned at the start of the potty, which is nice, man. It's new territory, really nice beaches. Got some more dolphin action down the beach today, which was nice. You know, I got some good footage in Denmark of a really big pod of dolphins, and I probably had a better opportunity to get some really good footage this time around. But I've been having some drone dramas, so when I sent it up at, you know, whatever it was called, some place we went to in Albany that I'm blanking on the name of, Frenchman's Bay, we threw it up there and it was like wobbling, really wobbly, as if there was high winds, and there wasn't. And I was like, no, what's wrong with the drone? Like, you couldn't record with it, was unusable footage. And I did doing a bit of Googling, and they're saying perhaps one of your props, the little blades, is damaged, which wouldn't be too bad. It was saying, but also I couldn't move my camera up and down, so it's saying perhaps you need to get the gimbal recalibrated. I'm thinking, oh, that sounds like a massive headache, like for me on the road, where am I going to find somewhere to do that? I have to send it away to a DJI, you know, like manufacturer a fixer of drones. You know, so that was kind of stressing me out, but I got it out today and it was all right. I managed to, like, seem like there was a bit of dirt and stuff in some of the components, which was stopping it from working. Well, I got the air hose out and blew some shit out of it and managed to get the drone working all right, which was good. Even though the first time I took off today, it came up off the bonnet of the car and the wind pushed it straight into my aerial, and it hit the aerial and like spun out the sky and landed in the dirt again. I was like, fuck me, I'm going to break this thing, man. But I got it up in the sky. But before I figured all that out, I had a bit of trouble with the drone, with the gimbal, getting it to look up where I wanted it to look. I kept saying gimbal overloaded or gimbal stuck, because it obviously had some dirt in around the mechanisms of it. You know, so that was a bit stressful. I'm open to any drone advice for any flyers out there, if you guys know, like the best way to clean them and, you know, what to do if you do get a damaged prop, how much damage can they take, if I do have a problem with the gimbal, where do I send it, all this sort of stuff. I'm a complete novice, I don't know any of that stuff. But, you know, the I did get a little bit of footage, but I missed out some really good shots. I was surfing the waves, like 10 metres off the shore, and they were just surfing, jumping into these waves and jumping up in the air and, you know, just playing. It was so cool, man. Again, I got a little bit of footage of them, but I didn't get them doing anything cool like jumping up in the air or anything. But we'll throw it on the YouTube vid anyway. And, you know, hopefully, I think we're going to get some good footage over the next few days here. I spent 2 weeks in Albany and probably got 5 minutes worth of footage, if that, you know, and it's probably not even worth putting up. Yeah. It's not that interesting. It just wasn't very interesting, man. It wasn't an interesting time of our life in Albany. I didn't feel like it was worth making a video about. So, you know, I got a little bit of footage that might get squeezed into 1 or 2 minutes worth of footage for the next fortnight's video. But I am out there recording, getting you some video and some footage and shit about Bremer Bay and where we go next. So, yeah, do watch this space as far as that goes. One of the other nice things here about Bremer, and we were just coming for 2 nights because we've never been here before, we didn't know if it was going to be good or not. We've extended for another night already, and it's our first chance here since we came on our trip, since we left Perth. This is our first chance to have a fire, because it's been fire bans up until the end of April everywhere else we've been. We can get an exemption here, like a fire permit, and have a fire in a fire pit. I'm not going to do it tonight because I'm watching the UFC this evening, but I think we're going to do that tomorrow, which will be nice, because we just haven't had a fire, man. Like, you know, it just changes the whole dynamic, sitting outside the van, get a fire going, have a chat, You know, it's just different. Otherwise, you're outside basically till it gets dark, and then the bugs start coming in because he's got lights and stuff on, and you end up retiring to the inside of the van. So certainly a game changer coming into fire weather and fire, you know, areas where we're allowed fires moving forward. That'll be a bit of a game changer for us. I'm excited about that. Next from here is going to be Hopetown. We were thinking maybe we'd skip it and go straight to Esperance, but we've decided to push Esperance out and spend a bit more time down here. We'll do Bremer Bay, and then we'll do Hopetown next and check out some of their beaches as well, and just continue on from there. We will be Esperance bound once we leave Hopetown. Perhaps we'll do a campsite on the way there as well. Yeah, man, I know. Homeschool starting again tomorrow for us. We're much better organised this time round because the missus, you know, she spent hours organising what we had into a much more user-friendly system. We kind of just put things together in the best way we could and then started the term last term, and it was a bit of a schmozzle as far as organisation goes. So she spent a lot of time sorting things out, prepping and getting everything printed off and put into the right categories and folders and activities ready to go. So we should be really cooking with the gas on when we start homeschool this week. So looking forward to getting back on the routine and on the wagon with that as well. We were certainly ready for a break by the end of last term. So good to revitalize and get back into it. I mentioned just before that I'm watching UFC 300 tonight, which is a huge one. UFC 100 was a huge event, UFC 200 was a huge event, and UFC 300 is going to be a huge event. Very strange for me because, you know, of where I am and the surroundings I have and what my social media influence and intake has been and what my priorities and focuses have been, I can't even remember who's fighting on the card, and it's huge. I think I do remember Alex Pereira fighting the other cat from lightweight, whose name I can't remember, for the light heavyweight belt. And so the guy who won the belt and then injured himself, so he had to forfeit the belt. Alex won the vacant belt. Now they're going to fight. I'm not sure if it's an interim belt. Fighting for the undisputed belt, or if it's just he has the belt and they're fighting for the either way, the cats are fighting for the light heavyweight belt, and I know Justin Gaethje's fighting Max Holloway, which is huge. I think Zili Wang, the strawweight champ, is fighting someone that she's probably going to maul. There's a heap of big fights on there, heap of big fights. So I'm looking forward to that, man. But it's so funny, I've never been this far out of the loop and out of the zone and out of the news cycle. Even my algorithm isn't feeding me much UFC news anymore because I've been on a different trip lately. Your algorithm feeds you what you put in, and I've been putting other stuff in there lately, so I'm getting other stuff out of it, which is very interesting. So it's actually quite exciting. I don't know what's going on. And I've been on the start of social media all day, so I've got no idea of the results or anything. So I'm looking forward to that this evening. And that's been one of the biggest changes for me as well, is that since traveling, I've watched two UFCs. They've both been, tonight will be the second one. They've both been after the fact. Like, I've watched them that evening on my laptop after dinner and everything. We've done everything with the kids. So Sundays have really become a big family day. Sundays are family and podcast days. I don't have time to sit around and watch sports and stuff, you know, so which is good. I don't have a job right now. We're traveling the country. We're busy all the time. We're out exploring. We are doing, still do chores and stuff around the van, keep things tidy. I'm keeping myself busy with content creation and researching a bunch of online ideas and things for the future. So I'm keeping myself, very busy, striking up a bunch of different, a few different meaningful, relationships online lately, as far as, networking with people who are like-minded in the same sort of headspace and same goals and view of a lot of things in the world as myself. So I've been spending a lot of time investing in those things, and obviously the family lately. So it's a pretty positive headspace to be in. Very healthy, the health thing, the fitness, the strength and conditioning training, like my kettlebell training and stuff, the diet, everything's been really, really good. Less distractions has led me to be able to focus on those things a lot more. But we're certainly not sitting around just like you'd imagine when you go away for a long weekend camping or something. And it's a lot of just sitting around, drinking beers, barbecuing, swimming. Like we're doing those things. We're swimming at the beach. We're going for bush walks. We're you know, enjoying our time. But it's in small patches. We're busy. We're busy doing life, which is good, which is very good. So I'm kind of finding the rhythm, my speed for this whole traveling lifestyle, and it's not just doing nothing. It's busy. That's how my mind works. I've got to be busy. I've got to be engaged. I've got to be trying to achieve things, and I'm finding that rhythm now, which is good. It's a good headspace to be in. So yeah, and as far as what's on my mind, we are kind of a little over the cold, cloudy days at the moment. Starting to dream of warmer climates. We looks like we have a nicer week ahead of us. We had a cold, rainy, miserable week last week in Albany, which added to the negative experience. But, you know, it was a bit of a bummer in Albany. It looks like the next week we're getting up to 27, 28, 29s even, which is nice, good beach weather. So I'm certainly looking forward to that. But we are kind of dreaming of those Queensland winter days, you know, nice. Nice 25, 26, 27 degree days on the beach, warm enough water still, you know, sunshine. We've been able to cruise around in just the board shorts and the bathers. Dreaming of that a little bit, but certainly have more work to do down here in the south before we get back up to warmer weather. So, you know, we're being open-minded for the experience, and also honest about what we're enjoying and what we're not enjoying and what we're missing and what we're wishing for and all that sort of stuff. You know, it's Just trying to be, and as far as Albany, you know, I'm sure some people like it. It's just for us, it's off, you know, as my son would say, it's off brand. It's off brand. It's just not for us, man. It's someone else's speed, someone else's vibe, not for us. But now we know that. So we'll see what the next few weeks bring. A few days in Bremen Bay, a few days in Hopetown, a few days in Esperance, and then we're punching it across the border, which will be a big checkpoint, getting into another state, going to South Australia. That's exciting, you know. So look forward to that and watch this space, man, you know. I'm still, and I don't want to be negative about the whole Albany thing. Look, we needed to be there. We checked out reviews for caravan parks for this week and saw the reviews throughout the school holidays, and looked like they were absolutely flogged, just crawling with people like we thought they were going to be, which is why we hibernated in Albany for the school holidays anyway. You know, I got plenty of things sorted, fixed some things on the van, got some shit sorted on the ute, got a little few chores done, jobs done. Spent heaps of money, too much money on stuff. But, you know, it was worth doing. We just didn't enjoy our time there. You know, and I mentioned the health and fitness stuff before. I'm still working on the old elusive handstand push-up at the moment. I put in a few reps towards that every day as far as static holds, pike push-ups with raised legs. Trying to get my balance just in a handstand, and I'm getting a lot stronger in those positions and starting to find my balance a bit. But it's like a freestand handstand is pretty hard, man, to just go up handstand position and hold it without falling one way or the other. It's pretty hard. So I have not nailed that yet, but certainly still working on it. And I am seeing, even though I know I've got a long way to go, I'm actually seeing incremental improvements, which is good, because it's kind of the thing when I first started doing it, I'm like, how? I don't feel like this is ever going to come together for me. I feel so far away from it. But now I'm seeing those little improvements bit by bit. I'm like, oh, okay, I know how this works. You just keep getting a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. And eventually something will crack and I know I'll get there. So it's a good challenge to be working towards, and one that I am seeing some improvement on slowly. What else, man? What else? I guess on a negative note, should mention everyone's newsfeed would have been blown up with this over the last 24 hours. The stabbings at the Bondi Central shopping centre. It's horrible shit, man. Horrible shit. So a dude went in and stabbed, I guess, like 7 people or something. I mean, I haven't sat down and gone through all the latest news. So, you know, I think I scrolled through my phone this morning and had a look before I got up out of bed. So, you know, I'm not up to date with the latest. It's not really something I want to put too much energy into, absorb too much of that energy back into my life. But, you know, you got to be aware of things like that when they go down. We are a country, we are a community. It does affect all of us. It is scary to know that that sort of thing is happening here in Australia. That's kind of shit you would normally expect to see over in America. I heard there's like maybe 2 babies that got stabbed. Definitely 1 baby that got stabbed. It was in intensive care, 9-month-old baby, and the mum died. You know, like the little tiny little baby's never going to meet its mum. The dad's got to raise that kid on its own. It's horrible shit, man. Horrible, horrible, horrible. And the guy didn't seem like what you would imagine when you think of this. You think of some psycho. You imagine having a look at the photo and seeing something in his eyes going, oh yeah, look at that guy. He'd dump a dude or stab fucking 7 people at the shopping centre on a fucking Saturday evening for sure. Look at him. But didn't get those vibes off the guy. And I guess it's just mental illness, you know, which is funny. Not funny, but I guess it is funny. If this hadn't just happened and you showed me the meme, you know, a week ago, I would say it's funny. There's a Peter Griffin from Family Guy sitting in a car, and there's a guy holding up like a colour chart next to him, like you'd have for your paint samples, and it's got like the lighter colours of like beige, you know, tanned, olive, and it says mentally ill, and then below that it's got like, you know, brown, dark brown, black, or whatever, and it's got terrorist. And it's like, yeah, isn't that funny how we automatically categorize people who do this kind of thing? If he's white, he's mentally ill. If he's brown, we're like, oh, it must be a terrorist attack. We just automatically, in our minds, you know, stereotype things that way. Which, again, would have been funny if you showed me a week ago. Now I guess it's a little bit too soon, a little bit raw, a little bit touch sensitive. But yeah, it didn't seem like the type, man. I guess it's mental illness. Who knows what was going on in that guy's life and that guy's mind. He seemed like he probably went on like some sort of autopilot massacre. But like, one thing people don't talk about when they talk about the mental ill thing is that, like, what meds was he on? Because was he on similar meds to the mass shooters in the US? Because there's like a list. If you look at the guys who do those mass shootings in the US, there's like a handful of drugs that they're typically on, you know, one or some of those, of that handful of drugs. And that doesn't get spoken about enough, because it's like, yeah, okay, he's mentally ill, but he wasn't mentally ill and unmedicated. And when he did that, he was mentally ill and medicated with A, B, C, D, E, or F, or it might even be less, A, B, C, D, or E, you know, like these drugs. Was he on one of these drugs? So was this guy on one of the small handful of drugs that we typically see associated with mass shootings in the US? Because if so, there needs to be some more questions asked. Antipsychotics, and you read the list of side effects, and one of them is psychotic outbreaks. And it's like an antipsychotic, and one of the side effects is psychotic breaks. It's like, what the fuck, man? How is that a thing? And if people are on those antipsychotics and then going and killing people en masse, that's a no. You can't have that. Right? You can't have that. Imagine if someone smoked weed and went and massacred 7 people at a shopping centre. And it was like a theme. Heaven forbid one person did it. Imagine 3 people smoked weed and went and committed mass murders. You would be like, they would be like, my God, marijuana is the devil drug. You can't do it. There, people are going and killing people on mass. But these fucking people are taking antipsychotics and going, like, being completely dissociated from themselves, from their bodies, from their lives, from their emotions, and going zombie mode and trying to feel something. I don't know what the motivation is, but I'm assuming they're trying to feel something at some level. On a massacre and stabbing babies, and it's not getting talked about, man. Like, you know, that's the power and the reach of those fucking companies, man, where they can just go shh. But he was on that, we know, shh. But he was on the same medication as, we know, shh. Just, well, we have to mention that he was mentally ill. You just say he was mentally ill, and don't talk about the medication. People will ask. Well, you don't talk to the people that are going to ask. You don't give them a voice. You just say mentally ill. You move on. Oh, I'm not sure we can do that. Well, you will do that because you need the funding, don't you? And if you upset the, if you bite the hand that feeds you, you might not get the funding you need to continue your business, your industry, your job. Right, got it. Mentally ill, don't worry about the medication. Seems like that to me, man. Seems a little bit like that to me. I know I've got my tinfoil hat on here. It's not even tinfoil hat shit, man. That's just elephant in the room shit. Conversations need to be had. Shut up, dog, or you will get evicted. You will no longer be podcast pup. You will be outside pup. You want to be outside pup? I'm telling you. I'll get a shoelace and tie around your little mouth. Keep your mouth shut if you want. Back to it. Look, that's just elephant in the room type stuff, man. Shit's going on with some of those medications that people take, and it's not good. And needs to be spoken about, and proper trials, you know, like investigations need to be taken as to the safeness and efficacy of the safe and effective prescriptions that people are taking. We'll leave it at that, huh? How about this for a get the fuck out of here moment, right? Woolies in Albany, Woolworths, the shopping centre giant that we know has been involved in price gouging and, you know, working hand-in-hand with Coles to drive the market up and blah, blah, fucking blah, all that shit. Huge, you know, huge national giant in the shopping industry. Please be quiet, dog. And in Albany, they're not open on Sundays, man. Not open on Sundays. Drove to three separate stores before finally landing on an IGA, and this is in a city, man. It's like, what the fuck? Woolies are always open on Sundays. Always. I can understand if you had one or even two that were not like major ones. They're in some of the smaller suburbs, and just the big one was open, so people went to the big one. No, none of them. None of them are open on a Sunday. So I had to go to a fucking IGA. I didn't want to go to IGA when I was in the city. I didn't want to go there until I had to because I just didn't want to spend an extra $50 on my shopping than I would normally shopping elsewhere. But I had to go there because no fucking Woolworths are open on a Sunday in Albany. Get the fuck out of here. And here's this one. Here's another one. What you find in Albany, instead of like those little like spots near the front of the shopping centre, and this was actually at a pharmacy that I noticed it, which is doubly funny. Instead of having those little parking spots with a picture of a lady in a pram, they're like priority spots for women with prams and shit doing their shopping. They've got old people parking spots everywhere. So it's like, we don't like new life. We only like life that's flickering in its last stages of existence. We want old people to get the parking spots right up the front near the shopping centre doors. Now, look, it does make sense, to be fair. When I think about it, old people, walking frames, maybe wheelchairs, don't want to walk that far. Makes sense that they would get priority parking, but I've never seen it before. And of course I see it in Albany fucking everywhere because it's a fucking city that's dying. It's the fucking city that's dying, man. It's a dying town. Saw a speed sign for 40 kilometres an hour and just thought, yeah, is that an is that a statistic for the average age of people's kids, people who live in Albany's kids, average age 40? I know it's a speed sign, sorry. Look, man, I'm going to stop shitting on Albany. We're done now. It's in the revision mirror. It's in the revision mirror. We are looking forward. We're looking at Bremer Bay beaches. We're looking at Hopetown. We're looking at Esperance. I've heard so much about Esperance. These beaches, the most beautiful beaches in the world. Some people say the world. That's a big call. I'm going to need to see good weather to really judge the beaches. So we'll see what happens. The weather looks pretty good at the moment. I'm going to need to see that for myself because that's a huge call. I haven't seen all the beaches in the world, but I can at least put it in the back pocket and go, all right, standard set, and let's see, because I've seen some pretty beautiful beaches up to this point. So we'll see what comes out of that. Looking forward to that, mate. Again, life on the road so far, enjoying it, finding out, found our rhythm, finding ourselves busy, we haven't yet found other families and had for kids to make friends with and stuff. Like, we've only met people we already knew on the road and had our kids hang out and stuff. So that's something we're looking forward to happening. You know, there's a few, there's definitely things you need to get used to living on the road, and we're starting to get used to a few of them now. But it would be good, nice to get to some places with other kids. I'm also, as you know, probably the next month is going to be a lot of beach type adventures, which is great, but I am looking forward to getting to back into the, you know, some windy roads, some forest, you know, that's not very nice with a caravan, some, you know, some mountainous regions, some heavily vegetated areas, some forested areas, you know, greenery, you know, it's a bit of variety. I am looking forward to that. So we may not get that till Victoria, but still, apparently by all, you know, by all accounts, a lot of really good beaches in the near future for us. So we'll keep you posted. We'll keep the socials running. We'll keep the fortnightly, now that I'm out of Albany, the fortnightly YouTube video going as well. And we'll just keep you guys updated, man. And as well, you know, always doing the exercise, always doing always advocating for and pushing for the healthy lifestyle, healthy nutrition, really enjoying the fact that I'm getting up early and I'm loving these kettlebell workouts, getting like good work in. You know, I probably lost a little bit of muscle size since I stopped working out at the gym, but certainly not fitness, certainly not muscle like tone or anything like that, and certainly not strength. So that's been really good. The transition to training like this has been great. My body feels better. A lot of my aches and pains are gone. My joints feel better. My flexibility and mobility is getting better. I've got new goals like handstand push-ups, and then there's a few other things that'll be on the horizon, like you know, muscle ups and flags, and so it's a lot more calisthenic based stuff, which I think's great for a dude who's hitting his 40s. I've already got a strength base that I've built over the last 10 years, and now really looking to up my mobility and flexibility, and, you know, usable strength and things that are going to stop me from being injured as I move forward in life. So looking forward to that, man. And certainly our family's becoming a really tight unit. Had a rough week. Not last week, probably the week before, being a bit cranky and grumpy and snappy with the kids and the wife probably. Checked myself the weekend just gone, and then thought, you know, need to be more patient, and my frustration isn't their fault. And I think I did a lot better at it this past week, and I think the vibe in the van is pretty good at the moment. So that's what it's all about, man. Certainly still searching for ways to keep this thing going. Bunch of different options on the table currently. The main ones I'm always working at are content creation, and probably a good time to mention again, as you guys know, I'm over on Substack now. I will release another Substack blog this evening. There's paid subscription options over there. There's also Patreon. There is ways that if anybody who's listening feels they're getting value from my content and they would like to show their support in a financial manner, there is paid subscription options you can always go and do, and that would be obviously greatly appreciated by us here, working our ass off, putting time in to create this stuff and to, you know, obviously for our own family, keep this thing going so I can continue to have experiences, continue to live a life that I'm really feeling happy and fulfilled with at the moment, and continue to have inspiration and time to create and keep moving forward down that goal. It's what I'm really, really moving towards. So again, appreciate everybody's support. I appreciate the listens. Appreciate you sharing my stuff, telling your friends about it. Everything is growing, which is great. I'm spread out over a bunch of different platforms at the moment. I don't think I'm overstretched, but I'm certainly busy with it, and I'm noticing like sort of slow and consistent growth over all those platforms, which is really nice to see. So I'm happy with that, and just keep moving forward. Appreciate you guys' time. I actually didn't have a song to go out with today. I just didn't get one ready. I haven't been listening to any new music or anything lately, so I didn't have anything to put down the end of this podcast. So we'll just go out like that, mate. We'll just say, you know, Thank you very much again for listening. That was episode number 187 of the Average Man Podcast, Hustlin' Man Blues. And you'll hear from me next week where we will be in Esperance. We'll hopefully a much better recap of the week's experience than I've given you this week. All right, that's it for me. Take it easy. I'll speak to you all later on. Catch me on socials. Catch me on Substack. Catch us on YouTube. And subscribe, like, share, all that good stuff. Thanks heaps. Appreciate it. Peace.